This is the School Success Podcast, a podcast for school leaders to learn from other school leaders what's working and what's not, and to get inspiration and encouragement, as well as strategies to grow school enrollment, connect with families, retain teachers, recruit teachers, and everything in between. You guys are heroes, and I cannot thank you enough for pouring into this next generation that's coming behind us. My goal is you will take at least one thing away from every episode that you can take back to your school to make it better than it is right now. Please enjoy the School Success Podcast. Hey, School Success Makers, welcome to another edition of the School Success Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Slater, and I'm joined by my friend Michael Sabo out of Panama City, Florida. He is the head of school at Covenant Christian School up there, and they're doing some pretty sweet stuff, and I've met him in person. He's a great guy with a great school, and as recording this, about like 24 or 48 hours from now, hurricane's about to hit right close to his area. So we're getting this recording in right before all that fun stuff happens, so I'm not sure the exact date of the launch of this podcast, which should have been probably a month or two ago that all that happened. So I'm making sure, hoping everybody is safe and sound and very good there. But before we dive into today's episode and introducing and passing it off to Michael, I do want to highlight our amazing sponsors over at America's Christian Credit Union. You guys have probably heard this spiel before if you're regular listeners, but they are celebrating 65 years of service this year, and they are providing essential school banking services and tuition financing programs for schools who are looking to reduce their risk and administrative burden. And you guys can check out all those things on their website at americaschristiancu.com/schools. That's americaschristiancu.com/schools. My favorite thing that they offer is the tuition financing program. So if you're a school that's listening and you have a hard time collecting funds from the families that are a part of your school, and you're having to maybe chase them throughout the year, and maybe at the end of the year, you don't get all the funds that you were due as a school, you can have your families take a tuition financing loan out at America's Christian Credit Union. You get your money up front as a school at the very beginning of the year, and then they pay it just a regular monthly payment to the credit union so that you guys don't have to worry about chasing people or collecting all that. And it doesn't cost your school anything to do it. So go check out americaschristiancu.com/schools. All right. Well, as we dive into today's episode, I will pass it off to Michael to do a quick introduction, and then we'll dive into the nitty gritty. So Michael, welcome to the podcast, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mitchell. I appreciate that. Like you said, I'm with Covenant Christian School in Panama City, and I am entering my seventh year here as a head of school administrator. Covenant has been here in Panama City for 40 years, finished 40 years last year, completed 40 years. We're on our 41st year this year. It is going through, and you can imagine in 40 years, you're going to see a lot of history and some ups and some downs, and the school has transitioned in, you know, different seasons and different times. We are currently completing our 12th or 13th year as a classical Christian school. So that transition was made a little bit ago. And so we're a good ways into that transition, where we've seen some, you know, just in my time here, we've seen some ups and downs of, you know, of what life brings to a school and what to a community. I know you mentioned that we have a hurricane that's in or close to making landfall in less than 24 hours. We look like we're going to be okay at the immediate time. We'll get some rain and some wind, but nothing that's going to be impacting operations or causing significant damage. I know there will be some areas east of us that will be dealing with some pretty significant impacts. But my second year at Covenant, we went through a Category 5 hurricane. And that was a major event for us as a school, as a community. And it's hard to believe that it will be six years this October. And it's taken a while to recover from that. But there were some great lessons learned in that we would not change. Maybe we would change some things. But it was looking back on it, we see the blessings that came about through that. So
awesome. Well, thanks for giving us a background and sharing that. And as we dive into some of the main topics and discussions, I always like to start with the question of, if I was to visit you guys in Panama City, what would you say, Mitchell, you got to do this to enjoy all that Panama City has to offer? Because I've only been to the Panhandle once, and it's really only been to Destin area. So I never even went through Panama City. But if I did, you'd be like, Mitchell, you got to do this. What do I got to do,
Mike? Well, I just think we live in Bay County, Florida, and one of the tagline is world's beautiful beaches, and they truly are. You know, I tell my wife and I talk about this all the time where, you know, we've been here, you know, seven years, and we still have those moments where it's like, wow, we actually live here. You know, just a beautiful place. So the beaches, we have there's three bays in the area. There's so much access to water. However you want, you know, just, we live down the street from one of our bays, and we go and see sunsets all the time, and just beautiful sunsets. And so I think you have to say the beaches, but we're also an hour away from incredible natural springs, and it really is. It's not just the beaches. It's a lot of neat things here in this area.
Awesome. Yeah, the sand. I know the sand in the Panhandle, specifically Destin, is like sugar. I mean, it's just like so soft, and it's beautiful. It's white. Yeah, there's something about the Panhandle beaches. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, if we dive into the school a little bit more, I always start with the challenges. So obviously, head of school, but a Christian school, there's going to be challenges, of course. We all got them. They're just all going to be maybe a little bit different, and we might all be combating those differences and challenges differently. So what are some of those ones that come to mind for you guys that you guys are currently up against, and how are you facing those?
Now, I think just thinking about that question in itself, I almost think it almost depends on what day of the week that you ask me that. What is our greatest challenge? You know, just... Yeah, you asked me that yesterday, I may tell you something completely different. But I think an overall challenge that we are facing as a school would be the dynamics of a growing school. Just to kind of give you a little bit more of a background of where we've been. When we came back after the hurricane, and our community saw a population decrease. People left, homes were gone, and that was just a fact. So our public school population dropped, and so we went down a little bit. We lost, I don't know, maybe about 10%. We saw a 10% enrollment decline. But since then, just in the last, like I said, we're finishing or into year six, we've more than doubled, right? We've seen significant growth in that. And that's been one of the challenges that I would say that we're working through, is the dynamics of a growing school. And we're still a small school, where we're looking at enrollment around 270 or so right now, which I would consider a small school. But when you take where we've been, you know, we're around 120 to 150 in that range consistently to now, you know, it just adds different pieces. It's so many different aspects to that. And the keeping up, I think there's a phrase of just catch up, keep up. And then once you get to that point, if you even get to that point, you know, it's moving forward, and schools need to be moving forward. We need to be moving forward. So we're battling that task of catching up, and then to the point where we can keep up so that we can truly begin moving forward. Depending on how the school continues to grow or continues to grow, like growing enrollment or just growing in strength, or both, depending on, you know, what is the ultimate size that Covenant will reach within this community. So those are discussions that we're having and thoughts that we're considering, but maintaining the aspect of what's the vision, what's the mission, staying focused on that, and then getting the pieces in place, So there's administrative aspects, getting the administrative staff in place that can handle a growing staff, making sure that our teachers and our staff are getting everything that they need to be successful, to be effective, to teach and to work with excellence. The aspects of how do you maintain relationships and a community? You know, I would say one of the things that we like to hang our hat on somewhat, I know it's kind of a dangerous statement to make, would be just that We like the feel of a small school and what that small school brings in a sense of community and the value of relationships. And that takes hard work, and that is a challenging thing, but we want to maintain that balance even as the school, even as Covenant grows. We want relationships to be valued, that community to be valued. And so larger the organization, the more challenging that is. So I guess that's, in a sense, how do we work through and put the pieces in place that will enable that to be excellent in regards to all that we do.
And when you make the point about the school from going 120, 150 to 250, like almost doubling the school, obviously what you're saying is that's a huge culture shift that you have to do a lot to transition from there. And then I think a lot of people, not a whole bunch of people probably, but a lot of people I think will go, oh man, that would solve all my problems if I could just grow by double or have an extra 100, 150 students. But I'm sure you would attest to like, yeah, you have more revenue coming in, but that means more staff, that means more bills, that means more people to have to manage. There's like you have just different problems to have to deal with. I feel like you might get rid of some of them, or maybe you can attest to this. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Does growing like that magnify problems that maybe you didn't even know you had? You got bigger, go, oh man, we had that problem. We didn't think it was a big deal, but now that we have double the students, that is a huge problem we have to fix. Did stuff like that happen?
No, I would say that's the case. I think I can't think of anything specific in that, but I know one of the things that I think stands out to me is, and this is what I have learned, is that it's tougher for me to have access to people that I really would like to have. I know there was a time where I was trying to meet with all of our teachers at least once a week, just briefly. And I've learned just in the last couple of years that's really, it was hard when we were small. When we were 120 to 125, 130, whatever, that was a challenge. But now that we've just got more people just within our staff, it's that presents almost something that's really unrealistic, And so what I'm doing now is helping, as we're building an administrative staff, which we didn't really have before, where it was just one or two people. Now we have about three or five people that are taking on some of those aspects. So helping them to be able to invest in our staff and our people so that then they can go and meet the needs of our families and our students. So learning and talking to our staff about this, adjusting to that mindset where I'm not going to be as accessible as I have been. And that goes from both our staff and our families. We've been able to, we've transitioned into a, we have a grammar school principal now. Last year, she served as a grammar school lead teacher, and then she's able to take on a lot of those tasks where if a parent has a concern or a question, they're in the habit of reaching out to me if it's a school level, a large level question. And so now I'm able to send that on to her, and she's able to, but helping our families and our staff to realize that, when they come to me and say, okay, I'm going to send you to our principal, and she's going to help you out, and so it's a transition, it's a learning process.
Yeah, because you've had to like learn to delegate different things to
It's a
people,
process.
which
Yeah, it's a process for me.
it's, yeah, and I t that was hard for me too. And I had like with my team, with my company, delegation can sometimes be hard because I'm like, well, what if it doesn't get done? Or they're not going to do it the same way that I did it. And it's trusting that team to maybe fail and make mistakes and learn from those to grow themselves. So that is hard. I'm sure you've had to heavily learn that as you've grown your administrative staff to say, hey, I need you to coach that group of teachers to do this, and like giving them permission to do it their own way, maybe. I don't know how you've handled that one. Maybe we could speak to that one real quick too, of like how have you as a head of school learned or transitioned into that role, I guess, where you've had to delegate to a team to then delegate further to the staff. Has there been things like trainings you've learned, things you've read, or mentors or anything?
Yeah, I'd say I've had quite a few mentors, and just in different things, different circles within the classical Christian community, and then I've had some other leadership training that I've been part of, and that comes up often, you know, is allowing people to make mistakes, allowing people, and I wouldn't say mistakes, that they're doing a great job, but being okay when they do something different than you would do it. You know, you would do it, I would do it some another way, but, you know, allowing them to figure it out themselves, to do it the way that you know, as long as it's, you know, you trust your people to make good decisions and, you know, to follow along the, you know, our mission and maintaining those values that we are constantly honing in on. And we have a set value, you know, a set of values that, you know, if I would say training, it's more of just constantly bringing these to the surface. Like I mentioned, the values that we hone in are relationships. I've already mentioned that. That's a big one. The other is pursuing excellence. You know, we want to be as excellent as we possibly can across the board, knowing that we're never going to achieve that. We're never going to sit back. If we ever did sit back and say, hey, we finally got there, we're finally excellent, you know, so it's a constant pushing for that. The other things related, just, you know, being growth minded, you know, and we talk about growth mindedness is not necessarily growing in numbers. It's growing in strength. It's growing in excellence, you know, so that goes hand in hand. And I tell everybody that really the fourth value that we really need to have, it saturates all the other three. And that's a posture of humility. You know, we want to be a school that understands, you know, to pursue excellence and to be growth minded, you have to come with that posture. You have to have a humble spirit, and really to do relationships well and to value relationships. It really means loving people and serving sacrificially. You know, so that's something that we really seek to strive.
Love it. Well, that's a perfect segue into the next section of what's going really good. So, like, brag about the school a little bit. What's you've had challenges, of course, but there's obviously things that are going good. Obviously, you grew. I mean, to where you're at, so that's a good one. But what else is going good?
Yeah, I would go back to, you know, I mentioned that aspect of relationships and community, and it starts with us as a leadership group, and it gets down to our staff and. I really hope, and this is it, and I do feel like we are doing this well, but the aspect of when people come on our campus, you know, we're not perfect, and I mean, if any of our families or staff, you know, listen to this, and they you know, some of them may not say, well, I don't know if they're there yet, but I would tell you, this is something that we hope, and I do feel like we do this well. We can always get better, but when you come on our campus and you see our people, you're going to see a group of people that love each other. You're going to see a staff that truly cares for each other. And when we're looking to hire, when we're looking to, you know, to bring on new teachers and new staff members and new administrators, you know, that is a big, big part of what we're looking for. We're looking for people who, you know, going back to those values, you know, they embrace those values of, they're going to value relationships, and they understand that we're not just a school where you come in and you do your job and that you're, you know, you do your job well and then you leave. But we are truly a group that works together. We're truly a group that loves each other well. And that's going to not just do our job well, but are going to help each other do their job well. And through that, we hope that gets penetrated down, you know, that our students who are in it with us day in, day out, that they see that it truly inspires them to want to experience that in their own, you know, in their own circles. One day when they go and in their careers and working with groups and leading, we want them, we're one of our a tagline that we promote is just developing leaders. Spiritual and cultural leaders, and so we think that what they see in us is, you know, what leaders do, and we think that's an important part of modeling that, setting that example for them.
Well, as we kind of wrap things up, Michael, my final question for you is, if you had to share a piece of advice with the school leaders that are listening, what would that piece of advice be?
Lesson I've learned in the last couple of years, and this has been through working through some mentors that I have, and it is to take time and identify what drives you as a leader. You know, being a head of school and or being a school leader is I personally think it's one of the tougher jobs that are out there. I know everybody may think that everybody's working in tough environments and tough seasons, but it is truly a challenging task. And a lot often you can be on an island, you can be by yourself, and not have certain things to help. You know, maybe times where go through seasons of discouragement or weariness and but holding on to your values, holding on when you go through those tough seasons, when you go through those battles, when you go through and you have to rely on something, right? And then you you've taken time, taking time to identify, you know, what truly drives you. You know, and through this podcast, I've kind of fleshed that out a little bit. It's not intentionally, it's just coming out. You know, the values that I personally have as a leader, but also the value, and that's been ingrained in, you know, us as a school as well. And so, you know, every day I have that moment where I'm working through in my devotion time. You know, I'm working through to develop and just establish that passion for pursuing those things, you know, and whatever the challenges come, whatever the difficulties, the tough decisions and the tough conversations, you know, that come our way, you know, we go back to those aspects of, are we, you know, how are we doing in this particular situation, in this particular time? Are we valuing the relationship? Are we valuing seeking excellence? Are we valuing the aspect of growing stronger? You know, are we coming with that humble disposition, that humble posture? And that's really just been a big part of how we go through things. And it's easy. It's easy not to take that time in the morning to prepare for the day. It's easy to get busy. I think the busyness of a school leader is a major detriment in growing in those values and maintaining those values, and you get caught up in the catch up and the keep up, and you have to be careful with that. And so that would be my advice. My advice is to take time to identify who you are as a leader. What are your values? What are the things that drive you? And then you work through. You work through everything in that regard. And, you hold firm to that. So it takes time. It's taking time for me to even work through that process of who am I, you know. And, but
love it.
Coming through that's been very helpful.
Love it, Michael. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for, you know, we had to reschedule a couple of times for different reasons. So I appreciate you taking time out of your day, school's already started, all that, to take some time and preparing for a hurricane to hop on a podcast. So I love what you're doing there at Covenant, and wishing you guys even more growth. If the building can sustain growth, that you grow even more and get bigger as a school. But I appreciate you taking time to be on the podcast today, my friend.
Thank you, Mitchell. I really appreciate the time and appreciate what you're doing as well. I enjoy all of the content you're putting out. It's been very helpful.
Well, another huge shout out and a thank you to Michael for taking time and being on the podcast today. I love what he's doing up there at Covenant, and I'm wishing them nothing but the best as they continue to grow and educate the next generation that's coming behind us. And I'm hoping, as always, you guys were able to take at least one thing from today's episode that you can take back to your school to make it better than it is right now. We have some amazing resources for you guys that we'd love for you to check out. The first one's on our website, schoolsuccessmakers.com. We have some great resources on there, so please go check them out. One of those is our school success reports, our weekly newsletter that's launching this fall. We want to make sure you don't miss one of them that comes out. So please make sure you subscribe. So when the first one does launch, or when later ones launch, You will not miss it. So subscribe to the School Success Report. We also have a private Facebook community just for you school leaders on Facebook called School Success Makers, because that's what you guys are. So go join that private community completely free. I'm personally in there, and I'd love to see you in there as well. School Success Makers on Facebook. Go check it out. And as always, guys, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, or ideas, please feel free to message us through our website and one of our contact forms. We'd love to see if you have any potential guests that you think would be a great fit for us, or maybe you think you'd be a great fit for the podcast. We're always looking for great industry experts to come on and talk about what it means to have school success. So any of that, just let us know. But we'll be back here next week with another amazing guest as usual on the School Success Podcast. We'll see you then.